south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, there's some things you just hate to see come to Latin America. Like, for example, I'm looking at a typical gringo English language tourist magazine that you see in all the gringoized areas in Latin America. In fact, you can tell by the number of English language rags that exist in a town or city or whatever, just how deeply you are or aren't on the gringo tourist trail. For example, let's say you're in the Lake Atitlan district in Guatemala. Sure, it's kind of on the rustic backpacker-style tourist trail, you could say, but not by any stretch of the imagination, like the tourist trail in Cancun, Costa Rica, or Panama. So when someone says, oh, that town's touristy in a country like Guatemala, Honduras, Salvador, or Paraguay, let's say, places that are normally completely out of the question as first-world tourist vacation spots. That said, when you're talking about a touristy destination in a place like Guatemala or Honduras, you have to redefine your definition of tourism. So in fact, you really can judge the level of gringo tourism by English language monthly or weekly or daily publications floating around said areas. For example, in that Lake Atitlan region in Guatemala, you know, the one I mentioned in a show a long time ago where I ran into Mel Gibson, Sylvester Stallone, and Jimmy Page, not together, all on separate visits. Anyway, get this, they've got one. Only one little English language publication. And believe me, it's on cheap paper, not glossy or in color, but it gets the job done and it's free. And that little English rag serves all 12 little villages around that lake. So of course, what you have is the gringo-owned joints advertising in it. So that's where you find it, in those bars, hotels, and restaurants. So for those laid-back backpacker tourists, that's the only rag you can refer to that's in English. Now let's contrast that to a place like San Jose, Costa Rica. Last time I was there, there were no less than 25 different English rags of one sort or another floating around that city of about 400,000. Some monthlies, some weeklies, some dailies, the most famous one being the Tico Times. And who do you think owns, writes for, and publishes these things? Entrepreneurial gringo expats, of course. Which is why you can instantly tell how much the place has been infiltrated and saturated with gringos. Simply by checking out the number and variety of English rags racked and stacked haphazardly at the checkout counter in the tienda. Which brings me to the point I started off with. Things us long-term expats just hate to see that make their way down from the neurotic first world. We thought we left all that behind, but alas, as the gringos come, they bring their baggage with them. And you know, in the old days, 10 or 15 years ago, you used to hear gringos and expats complaining, you know, it's nice down here, but I don't have this and I don't have that. There's no place to buy my favorite hiking boots or my favorite nail polish or conditioner. No place to buy Halloween costumes. Can't find a good treadmill, Cuisinart, pasta maker, whatever. Yeah, that's right. Back then, 10, 15 years ago, there was a very limited choice and there was no Amazon to order from. But now with Walmart, Costco, Sears, Ace Hardware, etc., you can get almost anything. And if you can't, you can order from Amazon and have it shipped in 3 days. Now, don't think I'm digressing here as usual. Sounds like it, but I'm not. I'm looking at this gringo publication right now that comes out of Ecuador. It's a monthly. Perfect example of the glossy tourist rags you're starting to see pop up everywhere in tourist districts. And here's just the first thing that bugs the crap out of me and other long-term expats. I'm looking in the back, in the classified section, under health services. And remember, this is all in English. Check this ad out. Are you worried about your mental health? Do you have anxiety, addictions, depression, panic attacks, insomnia, relationship problems, dysfunctional friends or family? Visit our medical, psychiatric, and psychotherapeutic clinic. We have 3 resident psychotherapists, one of them trained in, guess where? My jammy. Then, of course, it has the address and the names and the phone numbers and all the relevant details. Now, I guess because I've been down here so long, I just hate to see when this kind of stuff lands here in Latin America. Basically, it seems like they're advertising here to troubled gringos who brought their anxieties and neuroses down here with them. So then you might ask, why do they still carry that first world burden when they're coming down here to live the good life? Calm, tranquil, off the treadmill, relatively stress-free and all that. I mean, let's face it. Some of the main reasons gringos and expats come down is because they want to get rid of their anxiety, their depression, their addictions, their money, tax, and relationship problems, etc. So you'd think there would be little need for full-service psychiatric clinics like that, right? But they've started to arrive. So why are they here? Have you guessed? Well, that's because in gringo-saturated areas, all you're hanging around with, doing business and socializing with are other gringos with, you guessed it, similar baggage. And like finds like wherever you are, right? So how are you going to offload your stress if you're hanging around with a bunch of other stressed out types? Oh, but I'm not going to go into a rant on that, other than to advise all you expat gonna-bes and wannabes that when you come down here, try not to set up your new life headquarters in a place that's saturated with gringos, or you're just going to have the same problems you thought you were escaping from. Not only that, you'll never learn your Spanish correctly. Believe me, you really do need some breathing space, so you can be near a gringo tourist area, but not too near to become immersed in and dependent on it. Oh, and here's another ad in this little glossy tourist reg. It says, Dr. Henry Guzman, counseling for adolescents and adults. Do you have relationship problems, substance abuse? Full trauma and recovery programs for adolescents operated by a U.S. licensed child psychotherapist. Yeah, right. You can see where I'm going with this. Let's put all those little gringo kids down here on Ritalin too. Now, you should know that just like so many of my gringo English teacher friends who work at those helicopter schools, they say it's those entitled children of the wealthy that go to those schools that have the same psychological problems, those addictions and abuses that first world kids are noted for. So yes, wealthy Latin kids are achieving those gringo wannabe psychiatric problems too. And it's the other 95% of Latin kids, the ones that go to crappy public schools and non-helicopter cheap private schools, they turn out to be the nicest, most well-balanced, level-headed kids. And as for autism, disruptive behavior, and Ritalin, well, in that class of kids, practically non-existent. As one expat English teacher friend of mine claims, the more expensive the private helicopter school, the more detached the parents are from their kids, whose proxy families consist of cleaning ladies, maids, nannies, and bodyguards. So there's no wonder why they develop first world quirks and psychological problems. But back to this glossy English magazine from Ecuador. Would it surprise you to know that they've got Alcoholics Anonymous groups strictly for gringos? How'd that happen? That's because a lot of gringos living in the beach towns especially end up being quesadilla beer drinkers. Oh, and how about this classified ad? They've got their local gringo Rotary Club meetings. And get this, number 4726 Masonic Lodge is having a meeting next week. And of course, we have the most mind-numbing and idiotic gringo classified ads of all. Republicans abroad and Democrats abroad. I mean, come on, isn't that why you packed up and left the Obama nation in the first place, to get away from all that crap? Is it really in your best interest to come all this way just to get lobotomized for a second time? Again, my advice, never live too close to the gringo tourist trail, or you'll be sorry. I know a lot of gringos who stuck on the gringo tourist trail, and now they're on that same old treadmill, albeit in a different way. And as for Democrats and Republicans abroad, my question always is, you're down here now in the real land of the free, and you want to cast an absentee ballot for another egomaniacal sociopath? I don't get it. The object of smart, astute expats is to have a lower profile and a smaller footprint. As crazy as this might sound, it's one last chance to hit your life reset button. It's one way to start from scratch and pretty much get off the radar. But it's not going to happen if you join up with Democrats or Republicans abroad. Please. Just the thought of it makes me want to vomit. Speaking of brain dead, I ran into an expat gringo the other day who said he and his wife were on their way to the doctor to get a flu shot. And by the way, being off the gringo tourist trail, the doctor had to special order it for him and his family. Which makes a pretty good case for the expat walking dead, doesn't it? But he did have an excuse. He did have plausible denial. He came down to Latin America many years ago, not because he wanted to escape Big Brother land of his own free will, but because he got transferred down here as a promotion in a transnational corporation. You might have heard of them. They're a brain and health food corporation known as Coca-Cola. So his reasons for moving down here were neither motivational, intellectual, or life-enhancing. They were strictly monetary. Okay, that said, Now, as you probably know, I get a lot of emails, and occasionally I get emails from people dissing me, calling me names, or being outright aggressive. And that's all right, too. It's all part of doing a show like this. Anyway, I do get negative emails on occasion. Why they keep listening, I don't know, but it seems they keep on keeping on. I mean, why listen to me? Why not turn on the tube? There's always the Kardashians, Dancing with the Stars, and what's that other one everybody likes? America's Got Dickheads. Something like that. Anyway, as you know, I'm affiliated with John Galt's website, www.thenewexpat.com. Now, note that John Galt at that website does get various emails that reference my show. Like, for example, this one. From Mary, we won't use her last name. She says, "Dear Mr. Galt, many of us expats voted for and support President Obama. It is offensive that these supposedly informative webcasts always include Obama bashing." So there it is, short and sweet. She's irritated and bothered to write about it. By the way, Mary, how's Obamacare working for you? Got that $5,000 deductible stashed in a shoebox somewhere? Hope you do. So yes, John Galt does field comments like that on the newexpat.com website. So here's what he wrote back to Mary, starting out as the nice guy he is with a compliment. He says, "Mary, thanks for your input, but don't expect changes. The radio show host does not subscribe to the theory that, number one, war is peace, number two, freedom is slavery, number three, ignorance is strength." Then he adds, "This site and its brother sites are not connected, nor do they adhere to newspeak. You might find this offensive, Mary, but there is no ministry of love here for interrogation or brainwashing, nor a ministry of truth to enforce thought crime, to perpetuate propaganda and historical revision, nor a minister of plenty, which handles shortages and rationing, nor a ministry of peace, which oversees war and atrocity." Then Mr. Galt says, "You know, there are many other sites available for inner and outer party members, like Democrats Abroad." Yep, there it is, the D word again, raising its ugly collective head, huh? But it just as well could have been Republicans Abroad, or Star Wars Fans Abroad, or Crackheads Abroad, whatever. Anyway, Mr. Galt goes on to say to Mary, "The views of the radio show, The Expat Files Living in Latin America, are observations of truth primarily meant to be dealt out to new expats, expat gonna-bes, and wannabes." And finally, Mr. Galt says, "I invite you to find your own sites that provide you with the, quote, information you want to hear. And lastly, from your comment, it seems you are an expat. So why then for you is it more appealing to live down here than Obama land? That confuses me." So that was his reply to Mary. Hey, he's not John Galt for nothing, you know. Oh, and by the way, for those of you coming down to my January Latin Insider Seminar, John Galt himself will be giving a pre- and post-seminar trip-slash-boots-on-the-ground tour to the most beautiful lake in the world, Lake Atitlan, Guatemala. And yes, I know it sounds like a cliche, the most beautiful lake in the world. And your Uncle Bernie in Minnesota fishes in the most beautiful lake in the world, right? Well, when you're looking at Lake Atitlan, it's kind of like a lost world. And you don't have to be on ayahuasca either. For one thing, it's about 6,000 feet above sea level and was formed by the eruption of three volcanoes. So while you're sitting there admiring the lake, sucking down a tequila, a Cuba Libre, or a Cohiba, you're seeing three nearby volcanoes staring right back at you. Yeah, I know. A picture's worth a thousand words, and though that's a big cliche too, I urge all you guys and gals coming down to take a couple extra days either before or after the seminar and sign on for one of those extra four-day Lake Atitlan trips with John Galt himself. Then, and only then, will you find out that age-old question, who is John Galt? And speaking of the seminar, I do have a few spots left, so go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's 2016 Latin Seminar link for full details. And if you do sign up, don't forget to add 4 days at the front or the back end of the seminar so you can do that trip with John Galt. In fact, there is a good chance that I'll be personally tagging along on John Galt's 4-day trip after the seminar. He says he's got some new discoveries he wants me to check out personally. Think I will. Now, let me read a part of an email that I just got from one of the persons that's already signed up for this coming seminar. He says, "Dear Johnny, yes, about John Galt's 2 trips to Lake Atitlan. I will do at least one, possibly both of them. But, Johnny, I forgot to ask you about the local dentists in that area. I need to have some dental work done, big stuff, bridge work, etc. Could there be a dentist or two that would come highly recommended by you? And would the cost generally be significantly lower in the States? If so, I'll call there and get prices, assuming they speak English. My Spanish is non-existent, you know, but I'm a fast learner. Don't have dental insurance up here myself, just the Dental Select discount plan, which is still pretty pricey. Then he finishes off by saying, Johnny, besides all the valuable info you offer, I tend to laugh out loud when listening to your shows, which unfortunately, I rarely feel inspired to do spontaneously in my day-to-day life here in Cleveland. Could it be another Clevelandite? Well, good, especially since Cleveland gets a lot of mention on this show. So, he says, thanks a lot for all that as well. See you at the seminar. Now, you might ask, why did I read that email? Because every single seminar that I've given so far has had at least one attendee contacting me about first world dentistry at third world prices and hopefully being able to fit that in on their trip down. Now, I don't know about you listeners up there, but it seems like after you hit about 35 or 40 years old, people start thinking a lot about dental plans because, well, it's true there are only two things in your body that don't automatically repair themselves when damaged or injured. That would be your teeth and your hair. But unfortunately, even in Hollywood, I don't think they have hair insurance. Though I could be wrong. And I know for a fact, if you don't have dental insurance up in the States anyway, it's something you put off and you put off until, well, things get pretty bad. So let me give you my response to that email. And I bring this up because I get so many emails from people asking about medical tourism in Latin America. They've heard all these great things, how cheap it is, first world and all that. But they've also heard the bad things, you know, the mistakes, the guys that weren't properly licensed, and, well, you know, all the horror stories on 2020. So let me just say that before you go searching the net for various medical tourism sites and hook up with those guys, and before you go paying their prices, which, though much cheaper than up in the States, still will be 30 to 50% more than if you contacted that dentist or physician yourself, without going through that so-called medical tourism middleman. Then again, if you're living up in the first world and need a hell of a lot of work done, and you find out it costs thousands and thousands of dollars to get, let's say, implants, if you decide on the medical tourism route, if you don't call one of those agencies, and you decide to do it on your own, then, when you finally make it down to Latin America, who can you trust? Do you throw a dart at the Yellow Pages? You don't want to do that. Anyway, for you expat gonna-bes and wannabes and people coming down to the seminar, believe me, after being down here a couple of decades now, I know just the right people to go through. The specialists that have trained in the U.S., the ones that do first world quality work all the way, and practice in first world style clinics and hospitals. So anyway, to answer that email, basically I said, depending on how many extra days you spend down here when you come down to the seminar, my 100% bilingual seminar coordinator will hook you up with our most highly recommended dentist who speaks perfect English. He graduated from U.S. dental schools and is a U.S. certified oral surgeon, too. So the credentials don't get any better than that. And by the way, in the U.S., when he graduated from his oral surgery fellowship, they offered him a position as a teaching professor at the dental college. He turned it down to come back to Central America. Why? Because his whole family lives down here. Anyway, that's how it goes with many specialists you meet down here in Latin America that were trained up in the States. In fact, 95% or more of them come back to their home country because they can't stay in the States due to the fact that they were up there on a student visa. It's part of the deal that they get their training in the U.S. and move back down to their home country and practice first world methods there. So our recommendations are first world in every respect, and they charge about one quarter or less of your average first world prices. For example, one of my seminar attendees just was quoted $1,500 for an implant, and up in the States, the very same ones using the very same materials cost $5,000 to $6,000. And by the way, if you come down to the seminar and want to have a consult with a specialist or dentist and take advantage of the situation, you have to schedule some more days onto your trip. Best thing to do, come a few days early. So my seminar coordinator can arrange appointments at the specialist or dentist, whatever. So believe it or not, if your flight arrives in the morning, you can have your first appointment and consult that day. That way you can get started right away and have your appointments scheduled accordingly. Now imagine just coming down and trying to do that for yourself. Sure, you might find doctors and dentists that speak English, but if you don't know Spanish to talk to the receptionist, you'll spend a lot of time spinning your wheels. Sure, the doctors speak English, but most receptionists don't. What if there's a waiting list and there are no appointments for quite a few days? Which is why my seminar crew provides that service, because a lot of people do end up coming down here having that in the back of their mind, getting some dental or medical work done, elective surgery, whatever. That said, if you're ever wondering about medical tourism down here, we've certainly got the contacts. So once again, a number of our past seminar attendees have gone through that very same drill. I know, pretty crummy pun, huh? And believe me, if you're having big work done like implants or bridges, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. So then you're probably thinking, Johnny, do you make money off of this? Are you getting a kickback or commission? Absolutely not, but I'll tell you this. Recently, just in the last few months, when I sent my gardener slash maintenance man to my dentist and told him to fix all his teeth and replace the four missing ones he had in front, my dentist said, don't worry, Johnny, I'll take care of it. How about that? So that was my payback, and it was fine with me. And by the way, my maintenance guy had at least 10 long appointments with the dentist. That's how bad his teeth were. So again, I'm not taking that 30% commission that these medical tourism people get. I'm taking nothing. Oh, and by the way, nearly every one of my seminar attendees who've gone the medical or dental route down here, they say that what they've saved actually covered some or all of their seminar cost and flight. Okay, now changing gears a bit, I get emails like this too. Dear Johnny, can you tell me the best Central American town that's close to the beach, safe, business friendly, with good internet and a gringo advantage? Thanks, Johnny. Signed, Dennis. Well, Dennis, let's see. I can name probably about 50 towns and villages and cities that fit that description. Now, the thing is, Dennis, if you want to hone in on one particular city or area that will suit your needs pretty much exactly, to do that, first of all, you have to completely describe yourself, your age, your health, your hobbies, your likes, your dislikes, your financial situation, family life, connections. Are you social? Do you want to make friends? Are you a loner, a hermit, a naturalist, a homebody? Do you like fishing, water sports, TV sports? How anonymous do you want to be? Do you want a small footprint? Does that even matter to you? Do you want to have land? Do you want to rent an apartment? Do you want to buy? Do you want to build? So, Dennis, as you can see, it's almost impossible to hone in on a particular city, town, or village. Unless, and believe me, this is not a plug, you hook up with me for a personal phone or Skype consult. That way we can spend half an hour going over your situation completely, because you'll send me all that stuff ahead of time, all the things on the list I just mentioned, and we'll be able to find a half a dozen places at least that you should investigate. And then you have to come down and get boots on the ground and hit every one of those towns, villages, or cities and decide which one is best for you. So not to do the tough love thing here, but that's just the way it breaks down. In fact, let me tell you a little story. There was a gringo couple from the States, 40-ish, that sold a business up there and wanted to come down to Latin America based on all the crap and bureaucracy they had to go through up in the States with their business. They were sick and tired of it. And they'd caught my podcast early on, and they decided they're going to move to Latin America. What I found out later was he didn't want to spend the money and come down to the seminar with his wife, so they did a grand total of 2 half-hour phone consults with me. Now, I advised him right up front not to send a container down. I advised them to sell everything and buy down here. What did they do? They sent a container down. Then I advised them not to ship their car down. What did they do? Ship their car down, because his wife loved that car. And yes, they had loads of red tape and trouble with the bureaucracy, getting all that stuff through, getting their car licensed, insured, and all that, because, well, they didn't speak Spanish for one thing. So right off the bat, they wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they weren't listening to my advice, especially about the big, important stuff. Then, because they were successful small business owners up in the States, they came down and said, hey, we'll open a business. And guess what they did? They opened up a bar. And it would have been a very, very successful bar if they would have put some boots on the ground before they opened it and listened to some sage advice. Had they selected a spot just one measly block over from where they put it, they would have kicked ass, because the street over was a walking avenue, no cars allowed, completely pedestrian. I mean, very heavy traffic on foot. Therefore, every business on that 10-block strip makes money. But instead, they chose one block away where no one dares to walk at night. However, on that busy pedestrian street one block away, it's always busy, nice, and safe. So they're on a street one block away with car traffic, not much foot traffic, though. and it is a bit dodgy at night. However, like I said, the busy pedestrian street loaded with happy partiers and all the bars and restaurants there doing great. So then why didn't this guy see that? Well, he just might have, but he wanted very cheap rent. So instead of paying 100 or 200 more bucks a month to be on the main pedestrian drag, he settled for a better rent deal a block over where his place simply withered and died. It never took off. Now note, we're talking about a district that's way off the gringo tourist trail, where rents are ridiculously cheap anyway. I mean, come on, I'm frugal too, but there's such a thing as so tight that you squeak. So in the end, this couple made many large errors in their path to becoming expats. Number one, though they had plenty of money, they never came down to the seminar. They just decided to do it on the strength of a couple of phone calls. How's that? And even then, they didn't listen to some very valuable advice. However, they're not the only ones. In fact, I often run into seminar attendees that have moved down here to Latin America. And guess what? I see them eating street food and getting sick. And that's one of the first things I advise when you get down. Do not eat the street food. Do not drink anything out of a glass, always out of a bottle or a can. No ice cubes unless you make them. And keep away from raw salads unless you make them yourself. Now, of course, if you go to a four-star or first-world hotel or restaurant, it's a different story because, well, they're paying attention to first-world sanitation and hygiene norms. But a regular Latin restaurant, no matter how new and nice it looks, all you have to do is stick your head in the kitchen and you'll see what I mean. Oh, and by the way, just this last weekend, I went into a very nice little mom-and-pop restaurant. Food was really excellent, kitchen was clean, and when I went into the bathroom, I noticed no paper towels at all, just a damp cloth hand towel. Yuck. So you can immediately drop 2 or 3 points off their 10 score. Next time I go there, I'm going to talk to the owner and say, hey, look, you've got to get paper towels. It's not sanitary otherwise, and gringos expect that. Now, normally, I just never go back, but I'm not giving up on this case. Some places, you know, are worth helping out. That's the gringo advantage, you know. We spot the details and the defects they never would have spotted. In this case, they were so good in other respects, they just needed a little prodding. And one last thing. Did you happen to hear on the news, probably not, that a group of incarcerated, full-body-tat gang members in a Guatemala prison, they got in a fight and 17 died? Hey, with prisons like that, who needs the death penalty, right? Now, expat Eddie says it's like that old joke. What do you call a busload of lawyers at the bottom of the sea? A good start.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.